As you guys already know, if you don't know, I'll always pretend like this is the first episode that anyone has ever heard. So my name is Dave Woods. This is You Versus You. And it's all about losing 100 pounds, 50 pounds, 30 pounds, 10 pounds, 5 pounds, whatever it may be. My backstory is that I had lost 100 pounds. And before you giving you my tips and tricks and the things that I did to get there and then to go forward. This moment right here is saying it's so odd just being here. I just have to have a side note for a second. It's such an odd thing to be here on episode 10. That's double digits. So here we are to go into it and to just say, how'd you do it? Where are you going? Why do it? And for me, it's fairly simple, but everyone else has to find their own reason why. The whole issue that I think boiling it down to is, how are you going to do it? And how are you going to stay focused? How do you get hyper-focused on it? And the two keys right there, which is all what this episode's about, are silence and deconstruction. So in this tech-heavy, screen-heavy world that we're living in, I think silence is a luxury that most people don't have, but that's only if you don't make time for it. So I know in an episode previously, I had said, get at least 15 minutes of silence a day. I'd say that is bare minimum. That is if you actually, I can't even name a scenario where that should be the minimum. So it's like, where can you make those adjustments in between? For me, my best ideas come when I'm silent, when I'm turned off my phone, or at least I'm in another room away from it. I have my phone on silent and I'm just left alone in my thoughts. And for a lot of people, that can be hard. That can be challenging because you're forced to address whatever comes up on your heart. And that is terrifying for most people. But the generation coming up behind the millennials, Generation Z, right, has been brought up in front of a phone, which is like the third parent, if it's you know, the double parent dynamic. In that situation is something that there's going to be a lot of ink spilt examining that. So if you're in the field of psychology or sociology, this would be huge. I mean, even philosophy, right? Like, if you don't have the self-awareness, how can you possibly be empathic or empathetic with other people? How can you be sympathetic unless you went through that one same situation, right? But without the phone, you might say, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to be left to my own devices to be creative. And that's something that had never existed before smartphones, right? To at least to this degree. So right here, I'm going to focus on game plan. What's your game plan? You're trying to lose 30 pounds? What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Most of the time, people say, I have this plan that is vague and nebulous, and it's put off into a further time and place. Right now, we have one day left in November for the last month. You know, we're in that final quarter, that final stretch before Christmas and New Year's. And this is the perfect time to be thinking about your New Year's resolutions. And one of my biggest pet peeves is when people don't come up with a New Year's resolution. And it's not because they don't have any plans or hopes or desires. It's because the fear of failure is stronger than having the resolve to carry out a new plan that's different from this past year. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know, tell that person listening. This is not a moment where, you know, I put my nose up and say, I'm better than you. Or I shake my head and say, you're better than that. Or really, I don't really think about it past the 5 seconds of the person saying, I don't have a New Year's resolution. But that type of thing is a self-defeating attitude that will creep in up most areas of life if it goes unchecked. And the quickest thing I can tell you is just get some silence. Go for a walk without your phone. If there's a moment where you listen to music, don't listen to music. Just listen to the surrounding areas of wherever you're at, whether you're in the city, whether you're in the suburbs, whether you're in some backwoods area of northern Canada, frozen tundra type place. Just get some silence, right? And then see what's on your mind, what's on your heart. All right. So when it comes to the deconstruction, the whole point is to break down the old self. It's part of the reason why we call this, I call this podcast You Versus You, because at the end of the day, it's always going to be your old self versus the new self that you've created or that you're in the process of creating. And the best way to do that is to get some silence and say, how am I going to do that? Oh, I have dreams of having a six pack. Well, are they going to stay dreams, or are you going to adjust your diet, start doing sit-ups? I have dreams of losing 30 pounds. Well, is that something you're able to carry out? Well, how are you going to carry it out? All these things can be brought to the fore with 30 minutes of silence. Imagine what you could do with an hour of silence. Especially, you know, as we get older and start having kids and other obligations that demand our attention. That attention is not in the creative sense. It's attention in terms of reaction. And if you are living your life in reaction, reaction only, reaction to this, reaction to that, how could you possibly be creative? It would be these pie in the sky, very nebulous things that cross your mind. And so I'm a huge advocate of getting that silence, examining yourself, saying, how did I get to this point? Whether it be through someone else bringing you this situation, these circumstances, there comes a point where you have to acknowledge where you're sitting right now, listening to this, were all decisions that you had made, and now they're there. So this brings a huge smile to my face, because when I realized that, and couldn't blame anyone, couldn't blame the government, couldn't blame the church, couldn't blame my neighbor, couldn't blame my ex, I had to say, these are all things that I participated in, whether I had full knowledge or partial knowledge or felt duped, all of those things, where I'm at right now is a consequence of that. And I think that was probably the ugliest part of having put on 100 pounds and then saying, well, how do I get rid of this? Okay, I can change the way I eat, change the way I sleep, I can change the way I deal with stress, I can change how I spend my time, I can start spending time in other places, I can start investigating how successful people did it. You know, how did Mike Tyson do it? How did Clubber Lang, I know his fictional character, that's really Mr. T, right? How did Clubber Lang prepare for his fight, Rocky III? How did Rocky train to fight Clubber Lang? All right. How does Michael B. Jordan train? What did he actually do? Not just prepping for the movie, but that huge jump from The Wire to Creed is monumental. It's this huge, it's almost like trying to go across the Grand Canyon. Like, you were this pipsqueak little kid, and then you turned into this statue, the statue of a man. How did you do that? And it took years for him to build that physique, right? And so right now, we can all examine what we look like in high school, what we look like in college, what we look like in between that time period, whether it's 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, and say, what is possible? What's the ideal that I'm trying to hit? You can then measure in between and say, what is realistic for your current state of life to make an improvement? It doesn't even have to be half of that goal. It can be better than yesterday, better than last year. What does that look like? Because over time, these things build up. And then it comes to, how can I just maintain that cruising weight, that floating weight? And this is such a hard taste of my own medicine, because after the holidays, I'm like, oh man, I'm never doing that again, right? I'm always going to keep a tight rein on the things that I take in. And yet I still gain 5 pounds, right? But I know 5 pounds is better than 10 pounds, better than 15 pounds, definitely better than 25 pounds. And then the work that gets put in to take that off, I already have that built up for having lost 100 pounds on almost, you know, almost 4 years of working at it consistently. All right. So that's the old self. You saw what you were made of and how you came to be in this spot. How do you get to across that canyon? How do you get across the Grand Canyon to be what you had pictured in your mind in the silence? Do you talk to yourself like you're there already? If you've been there already, say you get an injury and you need to do rehabilitation, you need to do physical therapy, you need to start from ground zero again, you already know the process. It's falling in love with saying, we're in this for the long haul, and one day it won't be like this. I've already pictured in my mind what it looks like. And I don't know if you've ever heard that crazy story about this marathon runner who got injured. I got seriously injured, right? I don't know what it was, but he was on bed rest for something like 6 months, right? And so he didn't drop out of the registered marathon that he was in, but instead, every single day, imagine what it was like to run the marathon while he's on bed rest. He imagined putting on the shorts, preparing the hydration, putting on his shoes, getting his ticket number, what it would be like in the environment for the sunny day that it was forecasted to be. He would just run each mile mentally. He knew that around mile 10, he'd start. He wouldn't be as strong as he was, but he'd be able to maintain a certain pace. Oh, what did the course look like? Okay, this is what it feels like on mile 13, mile 14. Mile 15. Oh, he knows that some buildings on the course are going to look like this. Okay, so he hit that part. Now he's at mile 18. He can see, he knows the areas where his family and friends are going to be cheering him on. He knows where it's going to be more quiet and desolate. Okay, mile 21, mile 22. Okay, this is the point where the hardest part of the marathon comes in, where you just want to quit. But he's like, oh, this is what I know what I'll do. I'll go through this whole process of getting injured, imagining what month 5 of being injured is like, training psychologically, what month 4 looks like, month 3, month 2, month 1. I kind of said that in reverse, but you get the point. It was the time of bed rest, training each day for it as if he had been running on that path, running on that circuit. Well, he gets out maybe a couple days before the race, goes through the practice, puts on his shoes, puts on the ticket, puts on the shorts, gets the hydration, he's ready, and he does a personal best for running a marathon. Without having trained for 6 months physically, did it, because it was right here. Oh, yeah, that's the question right there. How badly do you want it? So, yeah, that's what I'd say to someone. And I know, I have a feeling if you listen to all 10 episodes, you're taking in a ton of information and getting to know how my gears turn in my head and what I've done to get where I'm at right now. These are two secrets. Deconstruct the old self. Picture what the new self is like. Start building on that new self. How badly do you want it? Ask yourself that every single day. How badly do you want it? I had given these really easy summary of the process that I think, you know, when you see them as bullet points, you're like, oh, easy peasy. When you learn that and you walk through it and you repeat it to yourself, it becomes second nature. So I don't want to anyone to take that for granted or just skip over that, right? These are things that will apply to physical fitness, emotional fitness, spiritual health, psychological health, your relationships, how you relate to other people, how you relate to strangers, and even in conversation. This is all things you can apply in any occupation, any state in life, any age. I'm glad I got to go through all of this, especially the mess, so that I could tell you about it, and then you can apply it to your life and just gather the fruit of that experience. I think we'll keep it really easy just in terms of the visuals, and we'll go back to the main topic. The hyperfocus. Silence helps. Breaking down what got you to right where you are right now, step by step, milestone by milestone, also helps. You know, that's the first tenet of Greek philosophy, man, know thyself. The saying that I really, I shouldn't say keeps me up at night, the saying that gets me is, the unexamined life is not worth living. Right? Take that in, that hits. How much do we do some self-reflection? Do we have self-awareness? And that's the thing that makes me wonder about Catalina's generation. If we have so much screen time and instant everything, how much is going to be able to be brought in and stick and build a personality without it just being just, you know, firecrackers constantly going off in terms of what goes in? You have a thought, have another thought, have another thought. No, this right here, hyperfocus, might seem extreme. I hope that's something that needs to be exercised too. Something that needs to be built up and strengthened. So I don't know what it looks like for all of y'all, but I'm gonna be doing it every single day. And the more silence I have, the easier life seems to get, right? Yeah. A little anecdotal story that I want to mention was, a buddy of mine had told me about his sobriety and how he gave up alcohol. The whole thing, like, I'm completely in support of that in terms of the realization that something had a hold on him, and it was chemically induced through alcohol, right? Well, the thing that bothered me about it was he was really gung-ho and wanted to share about his experience after 2 weeks being sober, and was like, you should do it too, and it's not just a matter of willpower, ask me how. And I said to myself, 2 weeks, 2 weeks is something to celebrate if you've never been 2 weeks sober, but to start evangelizing and pushing it to other people without having that huge length of time, like 6 months or a year or a year and a half, 2 years, is something that I think is slightly premature, especially for trying to be convincing. So I'm not going to say any names, I'm not going to say who it was. The thing that hit me was thinking of my friends who have been to rehab, who have had a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years under their belt of sobriety. That is something that seems like it's been solidified into their character, to their habit, to their who they are as a person. And so 2 weeks seems a little overzealous about this newfound behavior. So if he's listening right now and he's like, I wonder if that's me, I better text this guy right now and say, hey Dave, why are you talking like this? I would say the same thing I texted him. You need to put some mile markers, get some mileage on underneath that before telling everyone, because I already know holidays are hard. This was around Halloween time, So he just had Thanksgiving and got the text and said, oh man, I almost relapsed. I'm like, yeah, no, just wait for it. See what Christmas is like. See what New Year's is like. And then we'll talk. Look, there's going to be a lull. I know there's going to be a lull where you're like, I really have this itch. I really have this desire for this. Oh, old friends are here and they want to hang out. Maybe new friends are saying, why? And they're questioning all these things. So, yeah, man. Prayers for your success. And I believe in you. I'm just to have one eyebrow up, one eyebrow down. That was a bad example with the hat on. But hopefully half of the people who are listening are only listening on Spotify and don't see the visuals. This is for you, Kike. All right. Hyperfocus. How do you get there? Quiet the noise. Just quiet it down. When you can hear your own thoughts, that's when you're actually able to do some serious examination. Bring a, not just a microscope, bring a telescope. Bring that electron telescope that's used to see that Pluto's not a planet. You know, that level of zeroing in and examining the minutiae. What are the places? What are the pitfalls? What built up this pyramid of a physique, this pyramid of a mentality, this pyramid of a circumstance? When you break it down brick by brick, it's easier to see it. So that's what the whole deconstruction is. Destroy in order to rebuild. To my guy out there, I'm just gonna call everyone John. John seems to be a common name, a common enough name where even if your name is John, you wouldn't take it personally, right? This person's name is not John. What habits were built up over time that led to this, right? Pyramid was not built overnight, right? Rome was not built overnight. What little things were known or unknown? What can you control? I know in my world, I can control what I eat. I can control how much I work out. I can control my mood. When I didn't have a tight rein on my mood, that's when I would get knocked off course and it would take a while to come back. I get cut off. And I love using this example, especially in LA. I get cut off in traffic. All of a sudden I take it personally. This person did it on purpose. They have a grudge against me. And now I need to let them know that I'm not going to be walked over, right? In this case, driven over. I need to catch up, you know, cut them off. And it becomes like this thing that destroyed my day. Not so much anymore. It's more of a moment of, why did I get so mad? Did I realize how mad I got? Did I cycle through? Oh, where was the first time this happened where I took it personally? Why do I feel like I need to exert equal amount of force upon this slight infraction? Most of the time, it's not. I don't need to. There's no reason, no good enough reason. It might have been I was tired. It might have been that I'm late. Could have been that I'm hungry. It could have been something that had already been starting and there's a short fuse. No, those are still not a good enough reason to do some risky road rage response, right? So that reactive part, it's not a good enough excuse. But the whole thing of getting to that point of realizing that I got ticked off was a hard thing. And then saying, oh, how can I counter that? I can counter it with gratitude. I can do it like Jesus said, forgive those who trespass against you. Forgive those who trespass against you. Blessed are you who are persecuted, right? Going through that, you're like, oh, in the grand scheme of things, that's very small. And it should not be good enough to knock my world off balance. And that examination proved that. So the thing that I do is say, Jesus, I forgive this person for cutting me off, being rude and inconsiderate. But I don't know them. They don't know me. Bless them. Help them get to where they're going. Give them the benefit of the doubt immediately. Maybe they're pregnant and about to give birth. And they're rushing to the hospital. Maybe they just spilled hot coffee on themselves. Maybe this big nasty spider just fell off the... What's that thing called? The blinder. Fell off the blinder. And shocked them so much that they needed to zigzag through traffic to escape their car. Could have just crushed it. I don't know what's going on in their world. But there's a lot of things that you could give them the benefit of the doubt for without actually having to need and do some investigation, right? This is also a good reason why I keep these notes up. I have my notepad. I don't want this to be a 10-hour episode where it's like Jerry and Elaine from Seinfeld. They're talking, not really talking about anything. Now, this is on focus, so let's stay focused. Okay, you have your goal. You wrote down your goal. Come up with a plan. What are the variables you need to look out for? What are you eating? How are you working out? What are you doing when you're working out? How are you resting? How are you recovering? Those are some pretty basic ways to go about it, no matter what type of diet you're doing. I would say pick one. You want to do the OMAD, one meal a day. That's going to be the one that I'm doing during the holidays so as to not get knocked off course. And I'll be able to report back to you in 2024 how that's going. But OMAD is one meal a day and having parameters on the caloric intake. So if you are, let's say on average, taking 2,500 calories a day, you would have that allowance of slightly less than 2,500 calories in one meal. To some people, I know that's going to be a shock, like, well, that's a ton to eat. But if you, next time you go out to eat, go to any restaurant, whether it be a sit-down fancy joint or fast food, look at those the caloric breakdown. Right? Next time I'll bring in some examples off, so it won't be off the cuff. But if you order 3 tacos from Del Taco, that might be 1,000 calories. So imagine if you normally eat 9 tacos. You know, do the math. Right? Look at how much a burger's packing, whether you're at a sit-down joint or a place that is faster. Now, what does that look like? Is it 1,500 calories? Is it 2,000 calories? Well, that might be one meal, right? And so my whole thing is, if you're able to control what you eat, you just need to make substitutions elsewhere, right? If you can't live without burgers, say, how much is a burger in calories if I buy it out or if I make it myself? A lot of times it's in the sauce. Right? A lot of those sauces have hidden calories that you would not have put in if you had known. Well, you can control that. Anyway, you're going to be eating french fries, you're eating spuds, potatoes, right? You could 86 the potatoes and do a healthier alternative. This goes into meal prepping. And I think one of those moments that had streamlined the fitness and the goal was being prepared all the time, saying, okay, I know what I'm eating. I know when I'm working out. I know how I'm going to feel by the third day in for working out six out of 7 days a week. Knowing that ahead of time makes the decision process less taxing on the head, on energy that could be used elsewhere. So go for that. If you have your gym bag packed, there's no excuse of saying, oh, I can't go to the gym because I don't have my shoes. Have them in the car. Oh, what am I going to drink? Just drink water. Lick your lips. You're going to be fine. We're most likely not going to pass out from dehydration or heat stroke wherever you are, right? Which are very real things. But the preparation phase is where you can knock out half the energy of wondering how, why, where can I do all these things. One thing that I like to do is to say, if I'm going to be doing something new, like OMAD and sprint interval training, aka sit cardio, look up a open field or a park, place of recreation near a gym. I go to 2 gyms, right? I know that's not always in people's budget or whatever their priorities are. But for me, I need a place that has long hours. So LA Fitness and Gold's Gym seem to be 2 perfect places where it takes out the excuse that I can't go to the gym at 10 o'clock at night. I'm more of a morning gym type of guy, but the range is there as a backstop so that there's no excuse. If I'm going to another part of town where my preferred gym is far away, I know because they are a chain, Gold's Gym and LA Fitness is a chain, I'll be able to go no matter where I'm at. There'll be one within 10 miles, right? All right. Well, if I know that, you plot out the day. What are you doing? Where are you going to be? Say, this is a point for time blocking where I'll be at the gym. 2 hours, I'll be spent here. Right before then, I know I can easily Google map where a park, a playground, a place that has nature, not just concrete, to do some training, to do some sprints. I know what just visually what 40 yards looks like, right? A lot of times it's just as simple as, without even physically measuring with your feet, looking at a post, what's your marker? Marker 1, and then look at the finish line. What's 40 yards away from there? Mark it. Right. Warm up. Jog it. Open up the hips. Jump up. Side shuffle. Karaoke's. High knees. Right. Stretch however you want to stretch. And then the first sprint, only doing 6. The first one is 50% of your sprint, full out sprint. That is snapping the body into focus, preparing yourself up for the next 5. On the second sprint, you say, how am I breathing? What do I feel? Is anything achy? Anything painful? Oh, what if you find it's your shoulder? Start stretching it, moving it. It might be you slept on it wrong, whatever it be. You know you'd be able to focus stretching that area and watching your form for sprint number 3. How'd you feel? Are you breathing in? Practice physically breathing in through your nose. Breathing out through your mouth. Catch your breath, go through, walk. And in between all these sprints, you're walking back to the starting position. If you have a heart rate monitor, which is ideal, and half the time I don't use it, but just in terms of getting to know where you're at cardio-wise, it's wise to see how hard you're working. Just slight preface, I'm a huge fan of bare bones working out, so not having headphones, not using your phone, not using a smartwatch, but just in terms of if this is brand new to you, I highly recommend it, especially if you can afford it, to track everything. Gather all that data, gather all the variables, and see what you're working with. The more advanced you get, I'd say you probably have an inkling of where you're at, but for that precision, be wired up, right? Shout out Orange Theory right there. You're working in that orange zone is where you want to be for that afterburn. And that is very useful for anyone who's starting a fitness journey from nothing. I think there's a little too much to go into about that without getting too off focus. But it's something to investigate. Investigate diets. OMAD diet. Keto. Paleo. Vegetarian. Just go through the list. Look at the benefits, look at the downfalls. I'll tell you, I can tell you from firsthand experience that keto really messed me up in the long run because how it switches how your body burns fat. And I had mentioned in a previous episode, but just in case it's your first episode listening now, keto had made me dairy sensitive, right? So before I was fine, and now there's a little stomach issue. Not too serious, you know, not something that's too disruptive, but it's a moment to weigh that in the costs of doing it. Why I'll always be a proponent of a diet for a time period instead of a lifestyle is so that you can psychologically adjust from the old self to the new self. If you've been doing a diet for a while and you see that it's not able to be maintained, you can then recalibrate from there so you can maintain it and not have the adverse effect of gaining all the weight back. That's just working backwards. You put in all this time, all this work to get the weight off. How would you feel about putting it all back and having to do it again? Right? That's the situation where I almost side with the person who says I didn't come up with a New Year's resolution. You're right. Nothing happened. You maintain status quo. But the question you still have to ask yourself is, how badly do you want it? How badly are you willing to work for it? How badly are you willing to maintain it? That's where I'm at right now with the maintaining phase. And it always seems to be a troubled area during the new year, right? I'll say it ad infinitum, right? Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day. That's the time of undoing everything. So be vigilant, be on guard, stay hungry, get after it, right? So here we are with the discussion of getting focused. Get that silence. Start to embrace quiet, hearing your own thoughts. Dissect what those things are. Look back. Look forward. Assess in between. That's the golden spot, right? The golden hour in the day. Right? The sun's rising. It goes from darkness to vivid brightness. And then before that twilight period of going the sun setting, where all of a sudden photos are just crispy, right? It's the golden hour. That's the same thing with self-reflection. When you're able to embrace all the things that you're going to feel, anger, tiredness, loneliness, sadness, joy, hope, name the gamut of feelings. When you're able to feel it and walk through it, look back, look forward, and presently, that's where I think hope really thrives. And that's something a lot of times we don't really take into consideration, or at least I shouldn't speak generally. Something that I don't take in, but when I do, all of a sudden, everything is more stable. I'm more patient. I'm more present. I'm more attuned to the scenario because I've been anchored from the silence. I don't know about silent retreat. I would do it. I'm not going to go out of my way. But when it comes my way, and when invitation comes my way, I'll take it into consideration. Right now, this is the at home while driving self-reflection silent time. I love it. I swear by it. I highly recommend it for everyone listening. When it comes to motivation, this is something that is going to be different for everyone. For me, I love listening to the inspiring stories of others. David Goggins will always be someone that I reference. That's why all the hashtags are always can't hurt me now, hashtag David Goggins, because that's part of the challenge in his book, Can't Hurt Me Now and Never Finished. If you have not heard of him, go check them out. I don't want people to listen to this and say, why does Dave Woods always talk about David Goggins? Go see some of the the feats that he has set, and you'll see why. Not just passing Bud's program for Navy SEALs, but then also setting the pull-up record, the Guinness Book of World Record for pull-ups, amongst being an ultra marathon runner. There are a million things you can choose to say how this guy is inspiring. Maybe that's not for you. Find someone else. The thing that hits me is saying, who and what different areas of life are people inspiring me? My uncle, and I'll just say, I won't say the specific name, he got in extreme shape during global pandemic, and he's a huge fan of the going on the bikes, right, where you can tune in different trainers, Pendleton bikes, and he pushed it. He wanted to see how much he could handle, right? And that is a challenge for everyone, right? It's universal, because when you see what you're capable of, you now have broken that ceiling of what you thought you could do. And going beyond that is the beauty of being a human being, right? You can actually handle a lot more. You're not easily broken. And then if you do get broken, you can put the pieces back together and be stronger than before. I know from personally in my life, from all the mess that I've seen and been through, and then to get to where I'm at right now, to be able to say this all with a smile, to be able to look people in the eye, not to have these crippling insecurities or anything, I can say, trust me, it's worth pushing it. And with the New Year's resolution, all you got to do is see how long before it becomes a habit. With the OMAD diet that I'm on right now, it's a process of 30 days of saying, if I know I'm going to be eating between 1,700 and 2,200 calories a day, one meal primarily, that only gives little wiggle room as a backstop for those days where I'm like, oh man, I'm furiously hungry. Those are always leg days, right? When you go heavy on quads and on glutes, that's when I find it's like a furnace of burning hunger, where all of a sudden I can't even think about anything else besides food. Those are the days to say, well, how am I going to be prepared? A little cheat, a little fitness hack right there is to have a bowl of cereal. This is something I had learned in high school, was to mix a bowl of cereal of three different types of cereal, primarily healthy cereal, and then one kind of junky, right? But that junk that you put in there is only treated as seasoning for the kashi, for that granola, for whatever it is that you're mixing together. The ones off the top of the brain, Kashi Golean, then Ezekiel, the Almond Crunch, and then something that's chocolatey, right? Throw that one in there. If you have done the measurements, size of your fist, approximately is a cup, you could say one bowl of cereal, when you add up those micros, do not sabotage. If you were to do three cups of cereal, right? Kashi, Ezekiel, Cocoa Pebbles, right? That's not the one that I eat. That's not the point. It's just an example. If you put three of those together, it's probably not going to be more than 550 calories, right? And that's included whatever you're using, whether you're using milk or dairy alternative, oat milk, almond milk, right? Cashew milk, as an O blood type. I'm not going to be touching cashews, but when you add that up, that is something that keeps you within range of 1,700, 2,200 calories, one meal a day. So you have that as an allowance. Have your other meal, and then later, when you're ravenously hungry, grab the bowl of cereal. Doing this is the equivalent of having your gym bag ready. having that emergency meal in mind is that backstop to keep you from going off and then plummeting off and then maybe not coming back. I'm not a huge fan of saying cheat days because it, one, it's a negative connotation to begin with, but then you can fight past that, right? If you're grounded and you're focused. The habit that's broken is the dopamine spike. So that's the thing that needs to be replaced. I'm a huge fan of Power of Habit, right? And it tells you exactly where these triggers come from. Oh, is it because you're bored? Is it because you're upset? Is it because you're angry? Because you're tired? All those things. When you recognize the cue, you're able to find an alternative, such as getting fresh air. Maybe it's socializing. Maybe it's needing to do something physical. Do a bunch of push-ups, right? When you're able to isolate that, because you've now learned from this episode, getting some silence will show you those things so you're more aware of what's going on internally. You'll be able to conquer those cues that will set you off in another direction that is not beneficial to your fitness journey. So, yeah, this is a moment where if you're taking this in for the first time, episode 10 is the first thing you've listened to, it's going to be some work. It's going to put some work in. But it's worth it, and it's also the same thing for something that might be unknown, like buying a car for the first time. How much is a car? X amount of money. What type of car is good for your situation? That narrows things down. You know you can negotiate if you go to the dealership, right? I mean, in anything within a transaction, I guess probably not at the grocery store, but the point is, every analogy breaks down at some point. In this one of negotiating for a car, there's a level of awareness that you need to know about how much money you're bringing to the table and how much they're asking. What are the things that are good for your situation? What things are not going to be helpful? Did you factor in maintenance of that car? What's the car insurance going to look like, right? Are you buying the car outright, or do you have a loan for the car? Like, those are things that parallel losing 30 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds or more. The thing that I'm getting at is when you're able to hone in on those specific variables, they don't catch you by surprise and knock you off course. They don't veer you off course. This hyperfocus is something that it's not actually the hyper part. It's the being aware and being have that in your peripheral vision, you know, looking left, looking right, or when inevitably some life situation happens. The things that I'm telling you about, having that bowl of cereal that you already know is going to be there, that is a healthy way to go back to this focus. Knowing what you're going to be doing on the weekends, right, brings us back. Repeating what the goal is and seeing where you want to be is that reverse engineering to go back to right there, right here. All this is work, but so was getting to where you're at right now and then coming out of that to get to where you want to go. So yeah, this is that's pretty much a wrap. I don't want to bog down too much. I really do try and keep it as simple as possible. That's often not the case, but these are some two keys that you can use for your fitness journey. It's deconstruction. Break down what the old self was doing and did and looks like for status quo, then having that silent time to build up the new plan. What are the people that inspire you? How do they do it? Who do you want to be? How do you want to be it? Coming up with that plan, what things can you implement to change your habits, what's that goal? What are you aiming for? This is, I think this is truly a two-parter in terms of self-improvement. It's realizing where you're at right now, but then understanding it doesn't have to be this way. Getting to that not have to be this way is something that you can put in the tank to get you there. But then when you get there, say, what's next? What else can I do? And having that plan so that you don't backslide to that old self. All right. I know that there's a ton of situations, a ton of circumstances where you can find little cheats, little hacks, little tips and tricks to get more silence. I can just list a name of them off the head. In your car, when you're driving, don't listen to music. Just listen to yourself. When you walk, I always tell people, after you eat a meal, go for a 10-minute walk. Very easy to do. There's really no excuse not to do it, especially if you're trying to build those steps and step that cardio. Don't look at your phone. Phone away. Put it on silent. Take in your environment. When you find yourself reaching for your phone, ask yourself, why are you reaching for the phone? And really sit with that for a second. If your phone is ringing and you recognize that it's a family member, yeah, of course, answer your phone. But if it's the 50 other things that we do before the primary use of a phone, like the primary function, ask yourself why. Come up with a plan. Implement that plan. Get after it. That's really as simple as it gets. I will be making these episodes until... Yeah, actually, I don't know. I'd say if I knew right now that today was going to be my last episode, I'd say these 10 episodes are enough to get to where you're going. Matter of fact, it might be overkill. You just really need to write the vision down, speak the vision out loud, apply yourself to the vision and the strategy that you've come up with. Tell a friend, keep yourself accountable, have an inspiration for motivation, and then match it with where you're at each day. Realize that this is a process, fall in love with the process, and just be patient with yourself. You'll get there, whatever it may be, whether running a marathon, bench pressing more weight, walking a mile, these are all things that are manageable. All right, that's it. This is you versus you. I use this key to get to where I'm at. I give it to you. I can't unlock the door for you. You got to unlock it yourself and walk through it. Peace and blessings.